WRJ, and thanks for joining us.
Local news and timeless hits, WRJN, Racine, Kenosha.
Here's CBS News.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. President-elect Donald Trump's team continues to insist Matt Gaetz is the right choice for attorney general. That's despite claims by an attorney who represents two women he says testified before a House Ethics Committee. The former congressman paid them for sex.
She arrived at the party. She had sex with Representative Gaetz within minutes of her arrival. Later on, when she was walking out to the pool area, she observed to her right Representative Gaetz having sex with her friend, who was 17 at the time.
Attorney Joel Leppard is hoping lawmakers will release their findings. Democratic committee member Glenn Ivey agrees.
We've got a bipartisan group of senators who've asked to see it. It's obviously relevant to the vote that they'll take with respect to confirmation.
House Speaker Mike Johnson not in favor.
I think it would be a bad precedent for us to set.
Mr. Trump has chosen a former Wisconsin congressman and Fox Business host, Sean Duffy, to lead the transportation department. Duffy starred in MTV's reality series, The Real World, in the 1990s. Today marks 1,000 days since Russia invaded Ukraine, and there's a new threat coming from the Kremlin.
Vladimir Putin authorizing the possible use of nuclear weapons in response to any conventional assault supported by a nuclear power, and declaring that any aggression by a member state of a coalition will be considered aggression by the whole coalition, a swipe at NATO and the EU. Whose lawmakers just greeted a virtual appearance by Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky with a standing ovation.
The more time he has, the worse the conditions become.
The special EU session marking 1,000 days since the Russian invasion. Vicky Barker, CBS News, London.
New York City police have arrested a homeless man in what they say were three random killings at three separate locations in Manhattan. Local David Brunberg.
For three people to get to be stabbed out of the blue, it's sad.
The NYPD says the suspect had been arrested at least eight times before. Local officials say it's finally safe to drink the tap water in Asheville, North Carolina. People have been under boil water advisory since Hurricane Helene devastated the city in late September. Katie Toomey's been cautious.
We have bottled water everywhere in the house, in the bathrooms, on the counters, on the kitchen counters, to use for cooking, to use for drinking.
Are you stressed out? Try a cup of hot chocolate or green tea to protect the effects on your heart. A study by the University of Birmingham finds the flavanols they contain protect blood flow and the system that delivers oxygen to your brain. Dow futures down 246. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Racine will be in primetime Thursday night. The number one ranked Racine St. Catharines Angels will play at 7 Thursday night in the Division IV State Championship. They'll play Baldwin-Woodville in a contest that will be heard on WRJN. There are four championship games at Camp Randall in Madison Thursday, with three more Friday. Coverage starts at 6:30 Thursday night for the St. Cats game. Kenosha could soon get their own data center. According to documents online, City of Kenosha officials are reviewing plans for a four-building data center campus. It would be north of 142 and west of I-94. The proposed 240-acre site is just farmland, homes, and woods at this point. If the project goes forward, the land would be annexed from the town of Paris into Kenosha. Microsoft is currently working in Mount Pleasant on a $3.3 billion data center project. It looks like Racine and Kenosha auto parts stores will be saved. A filing with the state shows Advanced Auto Parts plans to close six Milwaukee-area stores as part of a reorganization. For now, the closures in Wisconsin are limited to those in Milwaukee. Sleetwood Mac, Mr. Plow, and Scoop Dog. Those are just a few of the names suggested for the Racine County Highway Department's plow naming contest. Darth Blader, Plowy McPlowface, and Blizzard Skinnerd are a few more of the options. They're done taking suggestions in the contest. Now it's time to vote for your favorite name. If you want to play along, there's a link on the Racine County website. And that's news on WRJN. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WRJN.com.
Who's next at Wisconsin? Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, college football. We told you after losing to Oregon, the Badgers fired their offensive coordinator, Phil Longo, after just two seasons. So who will replace him? Head coach Luke Fickell asked at a press conference.
Just who's going to be calling plays for the rest of the season and why that particular person?
Why does it matter? Right? I mean, the offense will, you know, be run, and those guys will do a lot of things collaboratively together, and I don't think it really is important as to who's calling it. You know, I guess it gives you the ability to point a finger at somebody if that's the case, but it's not one of those things I think is that important. Sometimes I think it's overrated in some ways, but it'll be a collaborative group, and those guys will have to work a lot together.
College hoops, Wisconsin with another win, 87-84 over Texas Rio Grande Valley. The Badgers undefeated at 5-0. The Bucks with a win, 101-100 over the Houston Rockets, thanks to a gutsy layup by Damian Lillard.
It comes down to who's going to make the plays, and I thought tonight in that last stretch we was the one to make the plays.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
We have a lot going on today. Some showers this morning. It'll be mostly cloudy and very windy today with temperatures falling later this afternoon into tonight. Our high today right around 58, and that'll happen around midday. Tonight, 40. Tomorrow, rain, then snow showers with a high in the mid-40s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
Oh, boy. Remember summer vacations with your folks? Did anybody get the concept behind that? We did not get along together in a 5-bedroom house. Dad's idea was to put all of us in a car and drive through the desert in the hottest time of the year. Good call, Dad. Let's confront our tensions. Remember that? Stressful. They weren't fun. You weren't vacating. It wasn't leisure. We're going to get up at 2 a.m. I won't be on the road by 2:05. We don't have time to stop at restrooms. We're passing Dixie cups around the car. We're going to drive for 14-hour stretches in no direction whatsoever. The sun will always be shining through your window, Bill. Figure that out. I have seen the sun take turns with our car before to beam through my window. I'm in the back seat like an ant under a magnifying glass. Dad, turn the air conditioning on, please. Nope, it eats up gas. Then, Dad, you take my college money and you turn that damn AC on, buddy.
Director of the Racine Public Library is here, Nick Dembski. I got Racine right.
Yeah, that's a good start.
I was looking at something early. Yeah. Do you remember going on family vacations as a kid?
Yes. And my sentiments are, you couldn't pay me.
Get up at 2 a.m. We're leaving at 2:05.
Yeah.
I remember we used to go on, my father wouldn't fly anywhere, so it was all road trips. And I remember one year he said, we're going to try something different. We're going to pack food so we don't keep stopping every 10 minutes to get something to eat. So my mother made all these sandwiches. We packed them. My father and I, we all started eating it while we were in the driveway getting out. My father said, break open the sandwiches. Yeah. We weren't even out of the neighborhood and half the food was gone.
That'll do it right there. Yeah. They call that food stress.
I can't believe we used to go on trips. Now, this is back in the early 60s. We used to go on trips. And there was no cell phones. We used to go for 2 weeks. So you had no contact. You didn't know if your home was going to be there when you got back.
Oh, my God.
And we used to, for 2 weeks, my father didn't book the hotels until the next day. He used to make a call from the lobby of the hotel we were at to get to the next hotel because he didn't know where exactly we were going to be because he didn't, know them.
Uh-huh.
He didn't do that. And he bought us souvenirs everywhere we went. And I just, the way he did these trips, I don't know if I could have done that. 2 weeks, just take
no.
off.
Yeah, I never, my wife is always like, why are you so, resistant to going on vacations? And I'm like, I just still remember what they were when I was a child. They're not that anymore.
No, they're
but
not.
I still have that memory embedded in my, I'm like, oh, it's going to be.
Well, they were bad.
Oh, my God. I just couldn't wait for them to be over.
Really?
But now, whenever I go to a community, the first place that I go to check out.
Yeah, so they're really that bad. I love mine. Yeah.
Well, whenever I go to a new community now, whenever I travel, where the first place I go to check out?
Where?
The library. Seriously.
Because you feel you know why? Because you feel safe there.
Well, it's free. I know.
It's you feel safe.
Well, that's true.
It's your safe spot.
It is. Yeah. Need to recover from vacation trauma.
We go on road trips all the time. Before the pandemic, we went on, and we used to go for a week at a time. And my wife planned out every step of the way where we were going to be. So there was always something to do. And we just drove, but she made sure we didn't drive for 12 hours. We stopped at A, B, C, D, E, F, G along the way. Yeah. And by the time we got to the place, we weren't tired because we had been stopping everywhere, enjoying everything. We weren't driving that much. At least it felt like we weren't. But we traveled across the country into Wyoming. We traveled on Route 66 all the way into Amarillo, Texas. And it was really good. We love road trips.
I love the West, especially. I love driving through there. But, you know, if you're ever going to be, if you have a trip planned, or if any of your listeners have a trip planned, the library has many, many travel resources, like a whole travel section of
And DVDs of travel,
places.
Too. Yeah.
That's true. Yeah,
you can check it out before the, before we get to the library. So one time we're on Route 66. And we're heading toward Groom, Texas. Now, I don't know anything about these places. I was never there before.
Sure, I don't know.
And this is really out of the way places. And we're traveling on Route 66, and all of a sudden the road turns from pavement to gravel to dirt, and then it ends at somebody's ranch. They have a big steel fence up. And now the interstate is right. You can see the interstate, so it's not that far away. You just can't get to it unless you back up. So you're not in the middle of nowhere. So I had no way to turn around. Then we heard gunshots. Oof. And my wife panicked. You can hear, poof, poof, and turn around. I said, I can't turn around. There's gullies. So I backed up about a quarter of a mile.
Wow.
And then I finally got to pavement and I can turn the car around. But yeah, Route 66 stops and starts because it's so old and, you know, it's not really a route anymore. So that's what happened there. Okay.
Impressive.
So if you want to learn more about Route 66, go to the Racine Public Library. They have books. I like the way I make that right transition.
Yeah, excellent.
You can get books. You can get videos. You can get everything about Route 66 and all your travel. So before you head out next summer, take a look at places to go. Maybe there's places you didn't think of before.
That's true.
Maybe you don't want to go to Cudahy this year again. Yeah. Maybe you don't want to head to Wauwatosa.
Beautiful Cudahy.
Maybe spend a weekend in Wauwatosa. Maybe you want to go somewhere else this year. You never know. Anyway, so last time you were here, you were interim director and you were made director of the public library. Has anything changed in your life becoming director over interim?
Well, you know,
other than the title shorter.
Yeah. From interim to permanent director, not so much, but definitely, you know, just in the role dealing with high level policy and budgetary issues.
The budgets
constantly.
Thing. Yeah.
Yes. Have you heard the most recent news?
So
this is something very important for us to talk about today. But right now we're in the city budget process.
Last week,
the library budget was cut by $200,000. So this is important for the community to be aware of, important for your listeners to be aware
of. Well, what does that mean, 200,000?
That's a great question.
What percentage is that?
Oh, that's, you know, like around four, maybe a little more than 4.5%.
Okay.
The total proposed budget for our library was $4.7 million for 2025. But like, you know, in Kenosha, which has five library branches, by the way, don't forget that. But their budget is $7.7 million. So this is a community that historically has underfunded its library. That's been a big challenge that we've tried to overcome. And so this proposed cut here would be a really big difficulty. But and I don't want to talk about this all day. I want to talk about the fun library stuff. But
yeah, but if you don't get the money, the fun won't be there.
It is true that we can't do the fun library stuff without the money, like period, point blank. Everything we do costs money like every other city department. But there is a city council meeting tonight at 6 p.m. where they'll be finalizing the budget. And all weekend long, Don, all I've done is field phone calls and messages from like very angry community members who say that they're going to be showing up tonight. So we'll see if that ends up being true. And we'll see what it ends up, you know, how it ends up playing out. But if anyone listening is curious about following that anyways, if you want to see a healthy, stable, thriving library in your community, then, you know, these decisions that get made at the city council level are very, very important to not only just follow, but also engage in, like, have your voice heard on.
Did they give you a reason for the $200,000 cut?
Well, I suppose so. I mean, there are always reasons, but I would not want to try to, explain a justification that I don't, that I don't back, I guess. However, those videos or those meetings are recorded in video and they're archived on the City of Racine Facebook page. So anyone who wants to hear from the city council members who amended the mayor's budget to make this cut, they could hear it in their own.
Too bad I didn't know about this. We had about five aldermen in here.
Over
the past few weeks, I didn't know about the budget cut. They didn't mention it.
Well, we ourselves didn't find out about it until last week, which isn't, if some city council members had been talking to us for months about this or saying like, hey, just so you know, we're going to propose this, or engaging with me to say, can we figure out, can we figure out some strategies? We're worried about the funding structure of the library. We could have engaged in good faith conversations about those, but now we are where we are, and wherever it lands, we'll be where it lands. But if the library has less money, like you say, we can do less for kids, less for families, less for the elderly, less for the vulnerable. And
when does this budget kick in for you? January 1st? It does kick in January 1st.
It's calendar year is the fiscal year. For
okay. Us. Well, hold on just a sec. We're talking to Nick Dembski, who's the director of the Racine Public Library. More with Nick coming up in just a moment. First, now we got Pete.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Beauty in Black is Tyler Perry's new hit show. Although the show debuted to lukewarm reviews at under 50% on Rotten Tomatoes, viewers don't seem to care. The show nabbed 8.6 million viewers. If you're doing the math, that's 15.2 million eyes. Perry said he was excited the show is pulling in viewers worldwide to contrast criticism that Black entertainment does not have global appeal. He says Netflix has repeatedly proven it does. Speaking of Netflix, the streamer says 60 million households watched the highly touted, meaningless snooze fest referred to often as the Jake Paul Mike Tyson bout last Friday night. The 58-year-old Tyson lost an actual nail biter as he seemed to be trying to chew through his gloves most of the fight. Anyone who bet that Tyson's elderly legs would go after six punches cleaned up. Netflix says they wanted the broadcast to be a spectacle, and it was. If you like watching your TV buffer all night, just an awful event all the way around for fight and entertainment fans. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
And you can hear Pete on our sister station tonight, WAUK AM 540.
Your one-stop holiday shopping spot is Santa's Boutique. It sets up December 6th inside the Fountain Hills Apartments in Racine. Enjoy hot chocolate, cookies, and find great gifts from vendors like Tastefully Simple, Color Street, Avon, Paparazzi Jewelry, The Pampered Chef, Tupperware, Mary Kay, and more. Santa's Boutique at Fountain Hills Apartments, where you'll find something unique. Shop Friday afternoon, December 6th, 1 to 5 p.m. at Fountain Hills Apartments, 1100 Fountain Hills Drive, Racine. Brought to you by Fountain Hills and Compassus Hospice.
When the weather turns chilly, Ferraro's turns up the heat. This season of giving, get a little extra. Buy $100 in gift cards with cash, and Ferraro's will top it with a bonus $20 card. Don't miss November's cheesy ham and potato pizza with a beer cheese base, Canadian bacon, white potato, red onion, and topped with cheddar cheese. Plus, discover the tasty frozen pizzas, just right for carryout or your upcoming fundraiser, bridging the warmth and flavor Racine craves. Slide on by for the best pizza pie at Ferraro's. Meacham Road, just north of Taylor Avenue.
Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With limited incomes not keeping up with the lingering effects of inflation, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.kwwf.org.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes I'll come back from a concert with my kid or a dinner with my husband, and I'll think, man, it would be nice to find something to do that doesn't cost so gosh darn much. Today, I have a tip for something to fill your time and your heart, but not drain your wallet. Volunteering. Now hear me out. There's been a lot of research on this. It shows that volunteering can help you feel less stressed, less down, less worried. You can do it with your church or food bank. You can look for events that align with your interests. We love a Ren Fair and a beer festival over here. Volunteering can build social connections. It helps people feel less lonely, and that can keep you healthier and living longer. And when you volunteer, your brain releases all these great chemicals like serotonin or dopamine, things that just make you feel good. For more feel-good money tips, check out my videos at Work Money Media on YouTube. This is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
There's a lot going on here at WRJN, and we want to keep you up to date so you don't miss a thing. From music stories, from news, from contests, to all the events going on around Racine, we'll keep you up to date not only on the air, but with our new WRJN newsletter. Simply go to WRJN.com. You'll find a place to enter your email address, and then we'll start sending you a weekly email to keep you up to date on all things WRJN.
Nick Dembski, director of the Racine Public Library, is with us today at 7:21. We're looking for cloudy weather today. Was it raining when you came in, or just cloudy?
No. Okay. Yeah.
Cloudy with a high. It was raining when I came in. Cloudy when it was highs near 59 today. Cloudy lows 42 tonight. Cloudy with a chance of showers tomorrow, and a high near 47. Cloudy at 56 degrees right here at Radio Park. Let's talk about some of the things going on at the library.
Absolutely.
What do you mean you're closed on Thanksgiving Day?
I'm sorry.
Wait. What about people that aren't thankful? Yeah. Not everybody's thankful.
They're like, I'm opposed to this gratitude business. Yeah, we will not only be closed on Thanksgiving, but closed the day after. And we try to, I appreciate that being the first thing you bring up, just because we want to make sure people know that, yeah. You know, we want to make sure no one comes on their
home. People assume everything's closed on Thanksgiving Day. Yeah. Restaurants aren't, I know that. They're open.
True.
Because I get my Thanksgiving dinner from a restaurant every year.
All right.
We bring it in. Why cook for, you know, three people? So, on Black Friday, too, you closed, huh? Too many people doing shopping that day, huh?
On Black Friday, too, yeah. Many of our staff would like to do some of that shopping, so we try to make that possible.
Not really Black Friday anymore, because Black Friday sales started, like, around Halloween.
Oh, my gosh.
It's not like it used to be where Black Friday was on that Friday. Now it's all, you know, month long.
I just saw, I think it was like Kohl's with a bunch of Christmas stuff in their windows.
Oh, come on.
It was killing me.
On Labor Day, they had the Christmas stuff up. What are you kidding me? Okay, so the library will be closed. People that are thankful or not thankful, it does make a difference.
Sure. Yep.
But that's nice. It's a family day. Let's talk about some of the programs there.
Sure.
The Rough Readers program. Now, rough is like dog. Rough.
Rough is like dog rough, one of the things that I love getting to talk with you most about, Don, is just, and with anyone, is the programs and the resources at the library that people just wouldn't expect us to have. And that is when I'm able to give people tours of the library, that's one of the things that they say most is like, I can't believe a library has X, but they'll say it about like a dozen or two dozen things. So anyways, one of the programs that we've had for a really good long time now is this awesome program called Rough Readers. It's, you know, mainly for kids grades like kindergarten to fifth grade. But what it is we have dogs that come in usually 4 to 5 p.m. Monday through
Real
Thursday.
Dogs.
Real dogs.
Okay.
Real dogs, live, living, breathing.
Not the robotic dogs.
Nope.
Okay.
Yep. These are not AI. And their owners are volunteering their time and the dog's time. And they are all therapy dogs, trained therapy dogs. And what they do is your child can just schedule a 15-minute session to read to them and practice their reading. And it has really great outcomes for kids, especially who are struggling to reading, because you have a non-judgmental audience that is just there to listen to you.
Oh, that's great.
And the dogs chill the kids out and just like, I mean, we've heard from so many parents who were just like, my kid's really struggling with this, that this mm-hmm. was the key that just sort of unlocked something for them.
Terrific. You know, my wife and I read books all the time, but she reads them to me.
Right on.
Because, not that I don't like reading, but I can. It's I just like hearing her voice read it because she reads so beautifully.
It's like an audiobook in person.
Yes, that's exactly what it's like. And then she does like they used to do in school. She's like, here are the pictures. She waves the pictures at me.
Very important.
So we just finished a book by one of our guests who's in here all the time. Carol Gianforte wrote a book. She was at your new author's.
She's collaborated with the library a lot. She's an amazing community.
And now we're reading a book by Bob Barry. Bob Barry was a legendary disc jockey in Milwaukee. He's the guy, when the Beatles came to town, introduced them on stage, got the exclusive interviews with the Beatles, and he wrote a book about his experiences in radio. So we're reading that, then we'll have him on the air. And our own general manager, Chris Morrow, actually worked with Bob Barry at WOKY Radio during those heydays when the Beatles were here.
That's amazing.
So, yeah, so we're going to have him. So we're reading that book now. And then after that, I'm going to read another new author's book you had, Haunted Racine. I had the guest in here.
Yeah.
Rory Graves was in here.
Sure.
And she was in here twice. So then we're going to read the book. But it's got to be a stormy night.
You know, I'll...
You can't read that in nice weather.
This isn't coming up anytime soon, but just since you mentioned two local authors, we did have, I think we talked about this with you back when we had it. I think it was in April, maybe. We had a big local author event that we plan to make annual. So hopefully, and I mean, the budget cuts are real. And so we don't know what we won't be able to do going forward. Like it will diminish capacity in one way or another, but hopefully we'll be able to do this again, this coming spring.
Quick, I need material. I need guests. Actually, I have all the guest list from your last one, and we're going to get to all of them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Awesome.
I'll show you in just a minute. Right now, though, it's 7:27 at WRJ, and Nick Dembski, director of the Racine Public Library, is with me. We have more to talk about the library programs, but first, we've got Paul Harvey and the rest of the story.
Rest of the story. Regis Wilson was a 14-year young schoolgirl about to embark upon the most magical evening of her life, her first prom. It was her boyfriend's high school prom, actually. He was an 18-year-old senior at Humes High. Regis had known him for 4 months. They'd met at a birthday party from which he escorted her home. That was her first date with any boy ever, the first of many with the young man whom she would always remember as her first love. Regis was attending a strict parochial school at the time, and yet even her Catholic nun teachers would have approved of this boy. Quiet, well-mannered, the places they dated were ultimately honorable, the malt shop, the church. Sometimes the two would just sit in the swing on Regis's front porch, talking. Regis always got a good night kiss, but never the slightest suggestion of anything more daring. Then the day for which she had hoped, when her darling boyfriend asked her to his senior prom. Never was a girl lovelier on prom night. Regis wore a strapless pink taffeta dress and a pink carnation. A talented beauty school student had done her hair for free. And off she and her beau went down to the Peabody Hotel through a giant heart-shaped door and into the ballroom where dreamy music echoed from a dance band. And then young Regis Wilson, from the boy she thought she knew so well, received a confession. He said, it was something I should have told you earlier. He said, I'm sorry, but I can't dance. I can't dance. They sat down. The boy explained how his first girlfriend, Betty, had tried to teach him the two-step 3 years before. No matter how hard she tried, however, his clumsiness kept him from learning. And how Betty, who loved to dance, quickly found a boy who could. So he never did learn to dance. And probably never would. And yet what might have disappointed any young lady attending her first prom only made Regis Wilson smile and love her boyfriend even more. They didn't have to dance, she told him. Just walking through the heart-shaped door and being there with him was enough for her and more. And so the two listened to the music and they talked and they held hands and the magic spell remained unbroken. In fact, today, 36 years later, it's still unbroken.
Regis Wilson and her shy young man were not to marry. Financial reverses forced her family to move away from Memphis that spring of 1953. And yet, although Regis married another man 3 years later and has remained happily married to him to this day, each springtime, in a secret reprise quite too deep for anyone else to reach, she drifts backward through time and through a giant heart-shaped door to a place where happiness was more than a dance, and to a boy who loved her. Who loved her tenderly, but was too self-conscious to step out on the dance floor. And he never did learn to dance with a woman. He never did learn to dance with a woman, and yet solo, his dancing set countless millions of feet to dancing and set the world on fire. That sweet, awkward high school boy named Elvis Presley. Now you know the rest of the story.
Paul Harvey and the rest of the story. You can hear him again this afternoon with Cindy Hubert, 12.05 p.m. To learn how your business can be a sponsor of one of the most popular shows ever to air on WRJN, call us during business hours, 262-634-3311, 262-634-3311. You can be one of four category exclusive businesses to sponsor Paul Harvey and the rest of the story. It's 7:31 right now. Let's check news in the morning, see what's going on. And once again, here's Stuart.
From the WRJN Radio Park newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Racine will be in primetime Thursday night. The number one ranked Racine St. Catharines Angels will play at 7 Thursday night in the Division IV state championship. They'll play Baldwin Woodville in a contest that will be heard on WRJN. There are four championship games at Camp Randall in Madison Thursday, with three more Friday. Coverage starts at 6:30 Thursday night for the St. Cats game. Kenosha could soon get their own data center. According to documents online, City of Kenosha officials are reviewing plans for a four-building data center campus. It would be north of 142 and west of I-94. The proposed 240-acre site is just farmland, homes, and woods at this point. If the project goes forward, the land would be annexed from the town of Paris into Kenosha. Microsoft is currently working in Mount Pleasant on a $3.3 billion data center project. It looks like Racine and Kenosha auto parts stores will be saved. A filing with the state shows Advanced Auto Parts plans to close six Milwaukee-area stores as part of a reorganization. For now, the closures in Wisconsin are limited to those in Milwaukee. Sleetwood Mac, Mr. Plow, and Scoop Dog. Those are just a few of the names suggested for the Racine County Highway Department's plow naming contest. Darth Blader, Plowy McPlowface, and Blizzard Skinnerd are a few more of the options. They're done taking suggestions in the contest. Now it's time to vote for your favorite name. If you want to play along, there's a link on the Racine County website. And that's news on WRJN. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WRJN.com.
A lot of agriculture might be getting excited about the Trump administration and pulling back on regulations, but one farm organization urges caution. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Tuesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Rod LaRue, president of the National Farmers Union, tells us we better think twice before we claw back all regulations.
Just cutting regulations isn't enough. We have to be very smart about it. Slashing and burning staff and some of those components can actually end up being barriers to farmers, whether it's not being able to get something done because no longer have people in that office to sign off on it. So I think regulatory relief, it will be welcomed, and I expect that that'll be a kind of a central theme for this new incoming administration. What are the effects of that, though, directly on farmers? We're going to be watching very, very closely.
A little advice from the president of the National Farmers Union. That's Rod LaRue. Markets are next.
Actor portrayal.
When I first looked into life insurance, I worried about the hassle. Then I found Better Life. Their simplified issue whole life coverage plans mean no medical exam. I found a plan that fit my budget, and now my final expenses are covered. Plus, I get Better Life member benefits at no extra cost. That's definitely better.
Better Life Insurance, where better means belonging. Call 888-488-4136. Insurance issued by Better Life Insurance Company. Terms and conditions apply. Member benefits are subject to change. Contact a licensed agent for details.
Attention farmers and ranchers, the Can-Am Ag and Business Program wants to reward hardworking folks like you. Head to your local Can-Am dealer to find out how you can get extra coverage on top of a rebate of up to $1,500 on select Can-Am Defender and Outlander models. If you've had your eyes set on a Can-Am workhorse, now's the time to get your own. Visit your local Can-Am dealer to add a true game changer to your roster. Certain conditions apply. See dealer for details.
On Monday, the barrel cheese gained a nickel to 173.5. 40-pound block cheese, that was a half cent stronger at 169.75. But AA butter on Monday dropped 4.5 cents, down to 258.5 per pound. This morning, Dow Jones Industrial Average right now down more than 200 points. December corn's unchanged at 429. March corn unchanged at 440. January soybeans are down another 6, 1003. November next year beans down a nickel, 1022. December wheat's up 6 at 553. July new crop up 6 at 587. Currently, December Class 3 milk that goes into cheese up 23 cents at 1955. January also up 18 cents at 1955 a hundredweight. There's your snapshot on where the numbers stand on a Tuesday morning. Hey, don't forget, we're headed to Spain on our next farm tour. Find details at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm PM Yankee.
We have a lot going on today. Some showers this morning. It'll be mostly cloudy and very windy today with temperatures falling later this afternoon into tonight. Our high today right around 58, and that'll happen around midday. Tonight, 40. Tomorrow, rain, then snow showers with a high in the mid-40s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
I'm not always the best about washing my hands, you know? Matter of fact, I hate washing my hands. I know that's not popular to say these days. And honestly, it's never really been that popular to say. But I hate it. I like to compliment people's bathroom soaps so they think I wash my hands. I hate when I'm in a public restroom and somebody else comes in there because I'm like, dang, now I gotta wash my hands. And the soap they give you now, they don't even give you real soap. They just give you foam in there. It's like used soap. It's like soap that somebody else has already worked into a lather. I don't know about you, but I'd kind of like to work my own lather. That's not a service I'm looking for. They say they give you the foam to conserve soap, and I had no idea we were dealing with a soap crisis. So I like to do my part by just not using any at all.
Nick Demski, my guest. He's the director of the Racine Library. We're talking about a whole bunch of things this morning. Let's get to that fundraiser you wanted to talk about. We'll do that first.
Yeah. So a lot of people might not know. There's the library proper. There's the Friends of the Library, which is its own separate 501c3. They do our big, like, twice.
We've had them in here.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right. They do our big book sales.
Autumn Lattimore.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Autumn is amazing. The president of the Friends, but... They raise money for programming at the library, basically. But then there's also the Library Foundation. And, you know, they're supposed to do, like, higher-level fundraising so that ideally one day we would maybe, like, have another branch in the community, something like that. But last year, they did a holiday fundraiser in December, and this year they're going to do another one. It's going to be Thursday, December 12th. It's going to be at 324 6th Street. So not at the library, but a building downtown where they've had a few things in it. An awesome barbecue restaurant named Dragon Pit Barbecue just moved into it. And people will be able to, experience Dragon Pit Barbecue a little bit if they're interested. But it's like a free to enter fundraiser. The foundation is really awesome at this library because they understand that the community we serve has people coming from all kinds of backgrounds and all kind of economic situations, and they want everyone to be able to join. So there's food, there's drink, there's a cash bar. Anyone can come. It's free to come. If you also want to give us a whole bunch of money when you come, you're most welcome to do that.
Bring those bags with the dollar signs on it, in the cartoons.
If you want to put us in your will, you are welcome to do that, all of that stuff. But it's mostly just a great time for people in the community.
And where is it again?
So it's going to be at 324 6th Street. which is, again, the building downtown where right now Dragon Pit Barbecue is.
Okay.
It's an event space, though, generally.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah. Corner of College and 6th Street.
And bring a blank check.
That's right. I love that idea. Excellent.
Okay, let's talk about some of the other programs there.
Sure.
If you're unemployed, a lot of people panic when they lose their job. They just panic because they don't know what to do, and they just, like, freeze up. But there is a way to navigate unemployment insurance, and you have a program on that, right?
Well, yeah, it's not, I mean, not so much a program. We have a bunch of community partners that help with a bunch of different things for people experiencing a diversity of challenges in life, right? So this navigating unemployment insurance with one of our community partners called UMOS is something that'll be happening Tuesday 19th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
That would be today.
That's today. Yep. But they've got it a number of times coming up, and you can check our website for all the different spots. But long story short, they have someone on their staff that's called an insurance navigator.
Yeah,
and they just make it easier.
It's a panic time.
Yeah,
especially if you didn't expect it coming.
You need someone to hold your hand through these, frankly, very confusing systems. And that's what these folks do all the time. They also speak Spanish. They're bilingual. So
anyone. And that's today.
That's today. But it's also coming up a few other times throughout the next couple months.
Here's another program coming up today as well. The Health Pop-Up with Molina Healthcare. What's that about?
That's right. Yeah. We've had a number of different community partners that are in the health field come and help. Like even Walgreens just came in recently and gave flu shots and COVID shots for free to community members. But this health pop-up with Molina Healthcare, again, today, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., but also going to be happening more than just today. So come and check our website if you're curious about this. But long story short, they're just there to help people, again, navigate the systems of healthcare, which are very confusing. So they have information and literature on diabetes, safe sleep, mental health, men's health screenings, breast cancer awareness, all sorts of other things. They are just there to help educate people.
Because it's a panic time again.
Yeah.
I mean,
these are like foundational things in our lives that...
Yeah, people panic when they have a problem like that.
That's right.
And you freeze up and you don't know what to do and you don't know who to call and... I understand it, especially if you're older.
And a lot of people just, you know, some of us have folks in our lives or maybe someone in your family is a doctor or whatever, someone that you can reach out to who you trust about this. A lot of people in this community have no one in their life that can explain these complicated systems and issues to them. And they don't have the resources to, like, go to a doctor. You know, they don't have insurance, maybe, or whatever the case is. So having something at the public library really tries to bridge that gap in the community.
You have a job search. Talk about panic situation again.
Yep.
Job search and unemployment assistance with the Department of Workforce Development. Now, that's coming up tomorrow.
That's right. Yep. But also, same thing.
It comes up on a regular basis, but tomorrow's the next one.
I know I've said that about the last three things. That's not usually the case. Like many of our programs, it's just a one-time thing. But for a lot of these programs where we're connecting with a community partner, and in this case, we're talking about the Department of Workforce Development, we try to do this regularly because these are chronic issues that people in the community are facing. And yeah, this one, you know, people can get help with resumes. People can get help working on job applications. The Department of Workforce Development folks, like, this is all they do, right? This is what they exist to do, is help people with job hunting and getting gainful employment. And they know that a lot of people, the reason why they're coming to the library to do that, even though they have their own spaces, is so many people who come to the library do need help with those resources.
Yeah, and again, when something happens, you freeze up, you don't know where to go, you panic, and it's good to know you can always call. Even if you don't know if the program's coming up, call the library. Do you have anything
coming
up?
Absolutely.
I'm unemployed, and I need help, and what's coming up? And you'll say, well, in about a year and a half from now, we have a pro. No.
And really quickly, to your point, even if we didn't have a specific
you have resources.
Absolutely. Yeah. We have one, librarians, but two, as you know, we have a social worker on staff who helps people with, navigating issues like these all the time.
You don't know this stuff about the public library.
That's
you
right.
actually have a social worker there to help people if they got a problem. So in other words, before you freeze up and panic, Call the library.
That's it.
And,
there it is.
And see, can you help me? This is my problem.
Yeah.
And you won't be put on hold 1,000 times. I know that because people actually answer the phone at the library.
I think you just made a T-shirt. Yeah. Before you freeze up and panic, call the library.
Only because I've been in that situation of freezing up. Now, you have your STEAM workshops. I forget. I know it's an acronym, STEAM. I keep forgetting what it stands for.
Oh, God. Science, technology. I want to say education, art, and manufacturing.
Wow. I was going to say something totally different.
I might be fleecing you on some of those at least. But
now, this is coming up on Thursday. Tinkering with Tinkercad. What is that? What does that mean? I don't even know what that's about.
So
that's out of my bailiwick.
to sort of contextualize this, I know I've talked about this on your show before, but the library now has something called the Innovation Lab.
Yes.
That's in the renovation, a new space that we created in the library. And it has all this amazing technology-related stuff for people to explore. So it has a bunch of 3D printers that people can print, have things printed.
I still don't know what that, I know what they are.
Come to the library.
I've seen it happen, but to me, you're building something out of a printer that I can actually put in my hand. I can't get my mind wrapped around it.
Yeah, we didn't grow up with that, you and I.
To me, a printer was, I made a copy of a piece of paper. And I'm sure to people 100 years ago, that was, you made a copy. How did that happen?
Yeah.
Well, now here I am saying, how does this happen?
Absolutely.
And you'll actually show me how it happens.
And that is the thing.
Do I have to be in kindergarten through 5?
No, anyone can come to the Innovation Lab. We're happy to have you. But yeah, absolutely. These technologies, we have a program called Girls Who Code that we've been doing for a long time. We have all sorts of programs to help young people and anyone else understand complicated technology skills, because that's what the workforce is going to require of them going into the future. And so many people in this community, again, don't have access to VR goggles or 3D printers or,
Wait a second, VR goggles. Is that the way you see the things in 3D through the goggles?
That's right, yeah.
I got one for Christmas 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago. And I've used it once because I had to hook something up to my phone and I just wasn't good at doing that. But they put a demo on there of a roller coaster and I was looking through the goggles and your body does move.
Yeah.
When that coaster's going.
They're freaky, right?
It is. Also, we were at a place in Branson. I'm going to tell you this quick story because we have some time here. So I'm in Branson and we went there for a wedding, believe it or not. And we had a day to kill, so we went to this place, and I can't remember the name of it, but they had a whole bunch of exhibits in there, but it was hands-on exhibits, like the library. And there was one where they put you on you're on the floor, and you're walking on a line on the floor, just a painted line, but they put these 3D goggles on, and you feel like you're walking on a plank over the city of Chicago. And it's terrifying.
Yeah.
Because you're walking on this.
It feels real.
you're on a piece of wood hanging over Chicago. And what they do is they actually hook something up to your back so you can't fall. Because you'll fall. And you're just walking on the floor.
Yeah.
There's nothing there but a floor.
It's really funny to not have the goggles on and be watching someone else who does have the goggles on.
And I took movies of my wife and she's walking and she's swaying, but she's just on the floor.
Yep. Yep.
And she took a picture of me too, and I'm trying to hold on to reach for something because it's so real.
Yeah.
And it plays, and there is a guy there. He actually holds on to the strap that's on you, so you don't all of a sudden fall, because you think you're going to fall, and you will fall on the floor.
100%.
And it was terrifying to do this thing. And when I got it off, I looked at, that's all I was doing. It was walking on the floor.
Yeah.
And it was only like 6 feet on the floor, but it felt like I was above the city of Chicago with people below me, and I could look around, and no matter where I looked, it looked real. So, yeah, that's terrifying.
And there's all sorts of really amazing, you know, technology things like that exist that didn't exist for you and I when we were younger, right? But that if a person in the community or a family has means, you know, their child can get introduced to it. They can buy those things. Their child can experience it. They can be inspired by it. They can maybe decide they're going to go into STEAM, as a field and like study that and make it a long-term career. But there's all sorts of families and all sorts of kids, especially, who just like would never get introduced to that in this community if there's not some sort of stopgap, some sort of public place like the library where we say, well, we have this. You can come in here and check this out. And so I'm really glad that we're able to, you know, introduce kids to things like 3D printers that they just never would get to experience otherwise.
I think about my grandparents now. One grandparent died in 1969. The other one died in 1991. If I brought my grandmother into this world today, just popped her in here,
she'd be terrified.
I don't think she ever saw color television.
Wow.
Because the neighbors where she grew up, you know, she was in Queens, they didn't have color TV, the neighbors, and she didn't have one. So I just wonder what it would be like to pop somebody in from 1969 in today's world.
Yeah. It'd have to be confusing, I imagine.
It's like Back to the Future in reverse. All of a sudden you go from the 1950s to today, and it's got to be scary. Now that we're talking like this, and someday they're going to say, could you imagine being in 2024 and being popped into...
the prehistoric 2024.
I mean, just think of what... we're just progressing so fast. And these programs actually bring younger kids in. You're right, didn't have access to this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And it gives them access now so they can learn and they'll be ready for the future.
And you know,
because
one,
this is the future, right?
Yeah. One last thing about the Innovation Lab that I'll say that I think you would especially appreciate because of who you are and what you do. We have something called the Jessica McPhail Sound Recording Studio.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I heard about that. Yeah, you can do podcasts and everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's a studio not unlike the one that we're in. I mean, this one's a little bigger and fancier by quite a bit. But, you know, we have people make reservations for it every day, and they'll come record their music. They'll come record podcasts, or some people are coming and recording like poetry readings or things like that. So those young people who might think, I want to be like Don Rosen when I grow up, they can come into the public library and start practicing now.
Yeah, but when they see the hamsters running the wheels over here and power, like they don't want to do that. Let's talk about, this is very important, Medicare. The open enrollment period is right now. And talk about navigating something. Everybody want you to sign with them for Medicare Advantage. To get Medicare is simple. You just call the Social Security office and they'll set you up. It's all the extra stuff. Medicare Part A, Part B, Part C, Part D. Then you got Medicare Advantage. The Medicare Advantage plans, which are good. So this is confusing. This is Monday the 25th from 9 a.m. to noon. It's Medicare Open Enrollment Benefits Checkup. And we're going to run through this. It's scary if you're just getting into that Medicare program.
Yeah. I mean, what... all of these things that we've talked about have in common is their systems, right, that you have to navigate. So the insurance system, the unemployment system, you know, the healthcare system, things like that. And it is really scary to try to navigate these things on your own if you don't feel like you know anything about it. So it's Monday, November 25th coming up, and it'll be 9 a.m. to noon. This is a one-shot deal, right? So that's only happening once, but it's an open enrollment benefits checkup. And so people, you know, this is for Medicare, you're talking about like 60 plus in the community. You have to be a Racine County resident, to be served by this program. But if someone snuck in, we probably wouldn't know. but, you know, anyone who is looking for information or for guidance or for a little hand-holding through that process and that system, the library is your place for that also, thanks to some community partners.
Well, I get, now that there's no more DVD stores around where you can rent DVDs, right? You can't even do Netflix, got rid of their DVD service.
No?
There is one video store located across the street from Horlick High School, which is good, but they don't have the newest videos in there.
I didn't know that.
Yes, it's, I have their card somewhere. Huh. So we have a, I have a thing with them where I can, you know, I bought their membership. So, but they have hundreds and hundreds of, thousands actually, of DVDs and VHS, even laser discs, where you can get in there and rent them. Try to create in that little mall across from Horlick High School. But if you want new ones, I go to the library because you guys always get the latest, the greatest. And
it's the library.
I remember it's the library. And there was, we had run a comedy bit and it's Ellen DeGeneres. I should look it up for you. And she talks about people that are annoying and the people who say library.
I like that.
The library.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I wanted this DVD, and they said, well, that's in the children's section. Oh, I can't go in there. Old guy going in there, this big, fat, old, tall guy walking in there with all those children. So I could have asked Seth, the librarian, to do it, but I didn't do that. I'm going to wait till one of the neighborhood kids goes with me to the library, or if they go, I'll say, could you get that for me out of there, please?
You are most welcome to come on your own into the children's department.
Don't
hang out there all day. Then that might raise some eyebrows.
My wife and I went to a program. It was a discussion group. And it was in a room that was on the other side of the children's library.
Sure, yeah.
And I had to walk through there. But luckily, my wife was with me. If I was alone, I just feel creepy going through.
That room is the Peggy Martin room, named after... an employee who worked at the library for 65 years, who was a mentor to me. Peggy Martin was a legend of the Racine Public Library, for sure.
Well, you have the lady at the front desk. Was it Glennis? She's been there 25 years.
Glennis is incredible.
I had her in here.
Yeah. I mean, we have so many, you know, I've been there 17 and a half years, and I'm like the young buck, right? Like, we have people, multiple people who have been there over 30 years. You know, it's a good place with good people doing good things, and I'm very honored to get to help lead the Racine Public Library.
When you hear a good story, this will make you feel good. This is one of those feel-good stories.
All right.
All right, this guy is from Arizona. His name is Jed Motley. He played, he played high school football in the 1990s and ordered a Letterman jacket in 1994, but his mom couldn't afford it. So all his buddies got one, but he didn't get one because his mom couldn't afford the jacket. Until now, it turns out the school ordered it, but held on to it when he couldn't pay. And his brother just found that jacket in a thrift store 30 years later. It's got his name and jersey number, so it's definitely his. It's in mint condition. It was never worn before. Still has the original tag on it. And he says it was something like $300 back in 1994. His brother snapped it up for 45 bucks at a thrift store. The original jacket, mint condition, 30 years ago that his mother couldn't afford.
Wow. That's really cool.
Isn't that a great story? I had another one here. You want another feel-good story? I told it earlier, but maybe people are just
We need more feel-good stories.
Oh, this is a feel-good story. Okay. This is about a World War II vet. Lives in Rhode Island. He just got his high school diploma. He's 98 years old. His name is Anthony Simone. He was born on the 4th of July back in 1926. He dropped out of school at the age of 16 to support his family during the Great Depression. Then enlisted in the Army and fought in the Battle of the Bulge. A real hero. He eventually got his GED, but never got his actual diploma. So his family made it happen last week. They got to his high school. They held a graduation ceremony on Veterans Day at the age of 98.
Oh,
and he got his high school
diploma.
I get teary-eyed when I hear these stories.
That's incredible.
Aren't they great?
Yeah.
Wow.
98. That's amazing.
98. He just wanted his high school diploma.
Yeah.
You know where my high school diploma is?
No. Where?
It's in a landfill. My mother, when she was moving from her house that we lived in from 1955 until 2000, she lived there. She was emptying out everything. She was moving to Florida. She got built a brand new house down there. And she said, I'm getting rid of everything. So my brother, who lived nearby, got his medical books out of the dumpster. He said, I got to tell you, she's throwing out everything. Well, what do you want me to do? I can't fly there right now and empty out the dumpster. He said, I did see your high school diploma in there. I said, why didn't you grab it?
Oh, my gosh.
He said, there was too much stuff. It was just coming in. Just, she threw out my high school diploma. And I said to her, why'd you do that? She goes, if it was that important to you, you would have taken it with you.
Wow.
Forget about that.
That's a classic mom move right
I saw the Beatles in 1965 at Shea Stadium. My mom and dad took me to see the Beatles, and I saved my ticket stubs with the Beatles on it. She threw those out, too. And I said, well, Mom, she said, if it was that important, you would have taken them with you.
See, she wouldn't make a very good archivist. She, the library world would shake their finger at her.
She didn't care. She said, if it was that important, you would have taken it. Obviously, it wasn't that important. Nick, thanks for being here.
Hey, it's always a pleasure, Don.
Nick Dempsey, no longer the interim director of the Racine Library, now the director of the Racine Library.